Amen. Good morning. Good evening. I'm a little tired, so it feels like morning. Just getting up out of the bed. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I have no idea what the Lord has in mind for us, but I know He has something good. Because we're together again. And you know, we have been enjoying all week the, and something that everybody hasn't been enjoying is the ministry and song of the brethren singing, brethren and the elders and deacons singing over there before the meeting. And I didn't want you to miss out on it. I hope that I'm not too far out of line by asking if the elders and the deacons would come up and the traveling ministries and sing. For us all to enjoy that special anointing that seemed to be on upon us. I think that it's on my heart, at least, and I hope that it's the will of the Lord, but if you could just come now, and we could sing a few songs just to open. And if I could, I'd like to call on Eric to open the meeting in prayer. Eric Amundson, if you'd come quickly. If you're available.
Our Father, we are so grateful for, again, this opportunity to come and sit in your presence, Lord. Father, we just ask it. We just invite you, dear Father, into your house, dear Father, to dwell within us, to minister to us, dear Father, and to allow us to minister to each other. We just pray your blessing on the meeting tonight, dear Father. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Saints of God, I want to go on.
Praise the Lord. It's a little warm. Things are just getting warmed up. Hallelujah. Messed up my perfect hairdo. I don't mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm so blessed by this week. Please sit down for a minute. I'm sorry. So blessed this week with all the ministry that's happened. And there was one thing that particularly got a hold of my heart. And that was when we sang the song, and I'm just going to bring it up here so that I don't make a mistake on the words. But it was the song, Jesus is Lord of All. And, you know, I never thought about that. You know, like Brother Brian was mentioning to me, he says, there's songs that I've sang 500 times, and all of a sudden I just get them. And I just got this one. Jesus is Lord of all. You know, Jesus is Lord of my fears. Jesus is Lord of my income. Jesus is Lord of my spirit. Jesus is Lord of everything in my life.
Hallelujah.
Only if I make it that way. I have to crown him Lord of all.
Hallelujah.
I just got that song too. Hallelujah. We're so blessed because he can take over those things that dog us. You know, if we're afraid to do something, if we're afraid to function in our ministry, if we're afraid to talk to people, whatever we're doing, you know, if there's a problem that we have, whatever we face, we can make Jesus Lord of all. He is Lord of anything that comes our way that's evil, and we can make him Lord of that, you know, and that's what we should do. Hallelujah. I was just so thrilled with that. Maybe we could stand and sing, make him Lord of all. Or crown him Lord of all, excuse me. I'm going to ask Margus to sing out and launch out with that, if you'd lead in that song, please.
Is that all hail the power of Jesus' name?
Yes, it is. Thank you. You can tell my ministry isn't in song. But I know some of the words. If we could have people to the instruments, please, we'd appreciate it. Thank you, Paige. 70. Thank you. Yeah. Amen. Page 3. Go ahead, Marcus. And you can spread your trophies at his feet tonight. Spread them all out and say, you're Lord of it all.
Hallelujah.
Use them as you wish, Lord. Hallelujah. It's better for him to put them to use than you.
Yes.
He can put them to much better use. Hallelujah. Let's sing that next verse.
Let every kindred, every tribe, this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe.
Sight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
All ye soldiers of the mountain of our God,
it is time to waken out of slumber and of sleep, for our redemption now is drawing nigh. See the evil forces now arrayed against the church. Put on your armor and be brave and strong. Christ forgive command. His kingdom is at hand. Let us begin to sing the victor's song. Hear the trumpet sounding on the soldiers of the cross, sounding from the mountain of our God. It is time to waken out of slumber and of sleep, for our redemption now is drawing nigh. The church.
Put on your armor and
be brave and strong. Christ will give command. His kingdom is at hand. Let us begin to sing the victor song. Oh, see the trumpet sounding on the shoulders of the cross, sounding from the mountain of our God. It is time to waken out of slumber and of sleep. For our redemption now is drawing nigh. See the evil forces come arrayed against the church. Put on your armor and be brave and strong. Christ will give command. His kingdom is at hand. Let's begin to sing the victor's song. Oh, hear the trumpet sounding on the soldiers of the cross, sounding from the mountain.
Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, wonderful, Lord. Wonderful, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Victory over all the powers of darkness. Victory. God fights for those who pray. Of darkness, victory. When the battle's in the rain, angels help us overcome. And God fights for those who pray. Victory, victory, victory. Over all the powers of darkness, victory. God fights for those who pray.
glory to God.
I will sing as David sang, when the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart. I will sing as David sang. I will sing as David sang.
Amen. I was dancing while you were singing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I understand we have some young ladies that have a song for us, that they could come now and sing that song. Appreciate it. Praise the Lord.
Died and rose again with God.
nothing's impossible. So I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God while I'm alive. I will wait on the Lord as His Spirit works in me, and together we'll move mountains to the sea. Began to fall, when I keep going, even though I've hit the wall. When things are tough, He gives me strength to carry on. With God, nothing's impossible. So I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. Faith is knowing that God sees all my hurt, and He won't waste it, He'll allow it to give birth to depth and compassion and a stirring of my soul. With God, nothing's impossible. So
praise the Lord. As I was standing there listening to those young ladies, it was beautiful, and I thought, where are their feet going to take them? And it's a big adventure, not like Dave's big adventures. Maybe it is like Dave's big adventures. There's a few interesting things along the way. I love to tease Dave. I'm sorry, Dave. But you know, life is an adventure, and it's an especially sweet adventure with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, with the things that we might go through, the pains and the aches that we might suffer along the way. We scrape our knees as young children. We scrape our hearts as older parents. You know, we see them grow up, and they go out to bless many as they walk with the Lord. And we wish this for all our young people. We're so thankful for them. Tonight, I understand we're going to be hearing from our brother Nat to minister. And so if you would come, Brother Nat. Thank you.
Glad that Brother Merv talked about repetition. I'm going to go back to Job. I love the book of Job. So I'd like you to turn to Job. Job is a wonderful story because of the fact that Job was, according to what he knew, a man who was perfect, and God called him that. And if we look at you know, what happened to Job, I don't think, no matter what has happened to us, I don't think anything can compare to losing all your children, losing all your possessions, and ending up in an ash heap, scraping yourself, and as our brother said at camp time in North Battleford, some people look down on his wife, but when you really love someone and they're just suffering so much, sometimes not just they, but you want them to just let go and ease the suffering they're going through. And I'm sure that that's what his wife was saying. But God was doing something, and Job knew that. Job was not just perfect as himself, but it says that Job rose up early in the morning in chapter 1, and he made burnt offerings for all of his children. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And so he covered not only his own sins, but covered the sins of his children, being the patriarch of his family, and offered the sacrifices that were acceptable to God at that time for what he did. And yet he went through all of these things. And as he went through those things, he knew that he was doing everything that he knew he should be doing. And yet here he was in this terrible, terrible situation. And he went through the discussion of wishing he had never been born, and cursing the day that he was born, and his friends didn't help a lot. It's funny that as I mentioned before, that attitude is still with us today. That when someone is going through a very hard time and suffering, a lot of times we think, and in this case they told him, that, oh, you've done something wrong. Otherwise God would be blessing you. And since God isn't blessing you, you've committed some grievous sin. And they went through a list of different things, which God, of course, corrected them on at the end of the story. But God answered Job, and out of the whirlwind in chapter 38, starting in verse 1. And he didn't really answer Job's question as to why what had happened to him happened to him, but by implication Job understood. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, this is in chapter 38 of Job, who is this that darkeneth counsel without words, by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And he goes on to talk about his creation. But the key to what he was saying was that, Job, you have a part in this great creation that I've made. And Job didn't understand that his story would be ministering to generations thousands of years after he passed away. And that was God's purpose for him. That generations would understand that God has a purpose. There is a purpose in the things we go through. We may not understand it, but as Job, if we can take that attitude and humble ourselves and say, as Job did, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Because that's what will come as you humble yourself through the situations that take place in your life. And many of you may have those types of situations which didn't come from anything you did. But there is this purpose, eternal purpose, that God has. I want to just talk a little bit about the dispensations. And over the dispensations, we in previous years we've been taught about the dispensation of innocence, which was where Adam and Eve were in the garden, and then conscience and human government, which was with the covenant that was made with Noah, promise, then the law, and then grace, and the kingdom to come. We're still in grace. And that covers about 4,000 years and up to grace. And grace has been over 2,000 years since Christ. So that's over 6,000 years. And just to give you an idea, the two smallest are human government and promise, which are about human government spanned about 429 years. Promise about 430 years. That many years ago, this country was a wilderness. There was a small settlement in California by the Spanish. There were no English settlements in this country. That's just one aspect of the smallest part, 400 years. And yet God has been using this time over thousands of years to bring forth the sons of God. Yes. And intricately he has planned everything that has happened, as we read about ourselves and has been mentioned already during these services. Psalm 139, but before we were formed in the womb, God laid out all of our days that we should live. And in the great culmination of things, we will begin to understand why those things happened as they happened to us. But it's God's desire for us to walk in faith, and not a blind faith, but to connect with Him in an intimate way, and to pour our heart and ourselves out to Him, that He can commune with us and bring us to a place of oneness with Himself and with God. And the Holy Spirit's purpose is that, to bring us to that place of oneness and maturity. And there are many scriptures that say similar things to what Job has said, and I'll just look at a couple of them. If you'll turn to me, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. God understands your struggles. God understands your situation. And for those that have come through serious struggles, you understand somewhat of, maybe, of what Job felt. You wonder at why you are where you are, or why you went through what you went through. But there is a place of rest in God and a place of nourishment in God and a place of quietness. As was mentioned, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. And God has that for you, has that for you to partake of. And as you will submit, we've heard a lot about submission and obedience. As you will submit to God, He will fill your heart with confidence. He will fill your heart with trust. He will fill your heart with faith. And He's very eager to do that. He will have children that, or full sons that will move without question to do what He wants to do. In the earth where we are, we're beginning to get an idea of how chaotic things will become, but what will happen is far beyond our comprehension. The darkness that will cover the earth, and what as God begins to take apart the kingdoms of this world. But the kingdom of God that He's ushering you into is so glorious and so beyond our imagination, that what is happening out on the earth will not move you at all, other than fill you with compassion for those that don't know God. And will reach your heart and cause your heart to reach out to them in prayer and into the desire for them to come to the place where you are. And it's so important that we begin to really reach out and understand the foundation of what God is doing as sons of God, as a relationship that He has and wants to have with you. He's not interested in judging you or keeping track of your faults and failings. But rather, He's interested in establishing an intimate harmony and relationship with you, where you'll have confidence in Him, and where something even closer than friendship will develop as you take your place as the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
And God has... We saw today the work of the presbytery. God has allowed you to know by the work of the presbytery that portion of Christ that He wants you to minister. And He wants you to enter into that place. So I'll just read these two Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Now he's. I've never looked on this, the many things and situations you go through. I've not looked on this as a condemnation from God, but as an affirmation. He knows what your heart is thinking when you go through these things. He knows that you're thinking, where is God? Where is God standing up for me? Where is my judgment? Is he passed over me? Is he not caring about me? And his reply is, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of heavens, of the creator of the ends of the earth, faileth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. That's to us. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And here is contained the days that we're coming to, where even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Here's another interesting one that God has taken all of these ages to create a I guess you could say a kiln of some type to form sons of God. And all of these things have, we think of the thousands of years, 6,000 years since Adam and Eve left the garden. They work it out by generations and using the scripture. But even Satan, he created Satan and caused him to fail as part of that great plan to bring about the sons of God that will face every situation and every temptation and every sin possible, and will come forth rejecting those things, but will choose righteousness and hope, and will choose the kingdom of God. And Satan is part of that. In Isaiah 45, and verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all of these things. They're all necessary things. You can't make a choice between good and evil unless there's enough evil. You can't humble yourself and cry out to God unless you face a situation that it completely overwhelms all your abilities and understanding. And God is going to bring upon the earth a situation that will cause people to cry out to Him. And there needs to be someone to answer. And He's privileged us to be co-workers together with Him, that we might, by the power of the Holy Spirit, demonstrate the compassion and love and goodness of God to creation. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Throughout the scriptures, God refers to his sons that he's created and creating. It is his finished work that has been done by the same word that brought forth the earth, and his Holy Spirit is working within each of us and within the church to bring forth in us the nature of Jesus Christ. And he makes a statement in the beginning of Hebrews, in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things to bring many sons unto glory, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Not servants, but brethren. Not servants, but friends. God is interested in communing with your heart and giving you understanding of what he's doing. He's interested in you having the same compassion and love in your heart for those that struggle. And if you pop over to verse 5, "For every high priest," and God has called us to be kings and priests unto him, as it says in Revelation, as he did Israel. And in verse chapter 5, verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant?" That's God's response to ignorance. God's response to rebellion was to send his son to be tortured and killed and pay the price for mankind. And to be one with God is to have that same spirit of compassion that can only come from the Spirit of God. God is interested in us opening ourselves up and letting go of our own nature so that we can flow with a nature of compassion and love and grace. A grace that will bring people to repentance. A love that will bring people to the cross of Calvary. A compassion that will turn their hearts from their offenses and hurting to the loving touch of God's hand in their lives. And God wants you to do that. And he is bringing things to a place where there's a lot of polarization. And we have to make sure that in our humility before God, we don't get caught up in the emotions of retribution and judgment, which only belong to God. But instead, respond with that same compassion and love that God holds out to mankind.
Yes, amen, 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 amen.
As it says here, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Many times you will run into people that, Christian people, maybe even people in our midst that have lost hope. And feel that we just have to accept people the way they are. They have no hope in the power of God to change lives anymore, because their hope is gone. And God may have to deal with them in some way, but God wants us to deal with them in a compassionate way, that somehow we can encourage them, that whatever they face, though it is, it may look to the world to be a hopeless situation and a way that cannot possibly change, with God all things are possible. God is not limited by genetics. God is not limited by environment. No matter what damage that has caused to a life, power of God can raise people up and change their heart and change their lives. And it's God's desire that we be agents of His compassion and grace to minister change to them. And to hold them up in prayer.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, this is a day when God is by his Holy Spirit wanting us to come forth and separate us, ourselves, from unbelief. Separate ourselves from doubt. And give ourselves to the Holy Spirit in a new way. And to the things that He's called us to do in a new way. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, He came for a purpose. He came as a living demonstration of the love and compassion of God. And as was written in John, we know the verse as well, where it says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the scripture says that God, it's God's will that every man should be saved. And there is a message that we as His people should have that would reach out to all of those around us with a message of hope and salvation. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And that message that would give hope and not condemn is not just a message that we carry, but a message that you should have in your heart, knowing that God does not condemn you, but God is bringing you forth and bringing you out of any experience that you've had into a complete victory in Him. Amen. As you allow His Holy Spirit to move in your life, as you become part of the body of Christ and what God is doing. We are a body. We are a family. And I know sometimes even the attitude of the world, well, family's got to deal with their own problems, and you know, you can... A man is an independent being. It's not the way God intended it to be. God intended man to be dependent. The perfect man was Jesus Christ, who said, I don't speak my own words or do my own works. He was completely dependent. And God is looking for men, as real men, to be dependent and to be unified and to rely upon each other. Elders should look over their flock, and as a father should step in and deal and speak and encourage situations that are not as they should be. And it takes the Holy Spirit to know how to do that in a compassionate and loving way. God has never meant you as elders to do these things on your own. We stand ready to help you in every situation. We stand, you know, you heard our brother Byron say to this couple in Penticton, the Amundsens, whenever you have a need, we're there for you. That's what the body of Christ is. Elders are never supposed to bear the burden of the flock alone. We're there. We want to be involved in the things that are going on with you. We want to be called. We want to be contacted. If you're not getting enough visits, if there's things going on in your assembly where you need extra help, call us. We want to do that because that's what a family does. And we're a spiritual family. But God has called us out to to not accept situations, but as Jesus came and dealt with the many that were in prison, not just physical prison, prisons of their mind, prisons of health, prisons of different situations, He spoke to them by the word of God and set them free. That power to do that comes from a relationship with God, the relationship that He had, the complete giving of Himself to God, so that the Holy Spirit could move unhindered. God is wooing each of us to that place where we can give ourselves completely to God so that He can move unhindered through the body of Christ to minister to the needs that are not also just in the body of Christ, but in our communities, with your neighbors, with those at work. God is going to cause your gifts and ministries to grow to the extent that they function, and you should look for them to function everywhere that you are. And we've been told that already this week. That the Holy Spirit and the gifts that we have been given are always with us. The Holy Spirit is always with us. And we should look to meet the situations that we face each day, not with just with our abilities and not with the things that we've been trained with, but with the things that God is training with us with, and with things which God has given us, that we can touch situations with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, with faith and with hope. And at times even with prophetic utterance. The prophetic works not just in prophecy. The prophetic works, we see it work in song. It works in speaking. It works in prayer. The depths of intercession that God wants to lead us to go far beyond what we know of today. But as I mentioned, as God brings the earth to this great culmination and climax, the church is going to arise into a place because of its intimacy with Him, where it will be commonplace to see the Holy Spirit of God bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring great repentance and turning to God. And He's called us to be part of that. God wants us to be connected, not having our hearts connected to technology or the things of this world, but connected to Him. God will take us into a place of connection, into a place where, and was mentioned, to get to that place, it's necessary that unforgiveness and all of these things that have dogged us, that we will not just let them go, but we will call upon God to take them out of our lives. The Bible mentions that we're in Colossians that we're translated into the kingdom of God. And in fact, through the blood of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are indeed translated. And your identification is not in what you do or what has happened to you. Your identification is in what God says about you and what God has said to you. I mentioned that God is interested in taking us from where we are, from our understanding of things and our concept as the world sees things, and to fill our hearts and minds with how He sees things. We have the mind of Christ. God will bring forth, if we will yield to Him, an understanding of what He's doing, not just by knowledge, but by performance, as He moves through our lives by the Holy Spirit and by the gifts that He's given to each of us. There is a necessity that we wholeheartedly accept the fact that as Jesus came and waged spiritual warfare against people that were imprisoned by spirits. How many of us believe in spirits? Do you believe people can be oppressed by spirits? Amen? Because that's a true thing. Jesus demonstrated it as He set people free. And that's not to say that we should be seeing spirits everywhere we turn, but as we look to God by the Holy Spirit and ask for discernment, He will give us an understanding of when people are struggling with spirit. And God, it's God's intention for us to enter into the spiritual warfare the same way Jesus did, the same way Paul did. I'll read here in 1 Corinthians where he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see that Paul never enabled these people that were locked into these behaviors, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, he delivered them and set them free. And there's a difference between having compassion on people that are in these kinds of struggles and enabling them. And when you see people in these kinds of struggles, yes, you need to have compassion to them. It's a compassion that should take you into intercession for their deliverance. Yes. And you should not give up until they're delivered. Yes. And Paul exercised the power of God in taking these people that were locked in these situations. And maybe they had identified themselves as being thieves or adulterers or fornicators or idolaters. But one of the things that he would have done was to show them that being prisoned by those behaviors didn't mean that's who you are. But there was a God who was able to set you free. And then he demonstrated it by the power of God to actually set them free. And God has given us an understanding that there's a warfare that Christians fight. And if you think that as a Christian you're not in a warfare, then you don't understand what the Scripture makes very plain. People who are in a warfare and don't understand that they're in a warfare will fall. Because they'll be just overrun. But God wants us to understand that as Jesus came and waged spiritual warfare, and as the apostles waged warfare against the spiritual world, we are called to wage warfare. That's why he says in 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You're in a war, and you have weapons. The Spirit of God and the calling of God has given you spiritual weapons and gifts and ministries to war warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the one thing that will weaken the church is to have a natural mind that thinks or believes that somehow God's not in control about what's going on. God is well knowledgeable and well in control of what is going on. But he is bringing a situation upon the earth that will force a choice as Jesus did. You know, it says an interesting thing about Noah when he built the ark. He built the ark, but there was a condemnation. He condemned the world. And Jesus, when he came, was the rock of offense. And Jesus, as he functioned and showed the reality of who God was and the love of who God was, caused there to be a condemnation so that those people that were in charge of God's people and of were the holy people of that time became the enemies of God in a span of 3 years. And there's a sense in which as the sons of God come forth, there will be a condemnation. And that's why Jesus was very clear to them that in the last days there would be persecution. But as I mentioned, the glory of what God is doing, God wants you to set your heart on the kingdom of God and meditate on the kingdom of God. We're being run by this age to a place where we have no time for meditation. And God doesn't want you to be run. Our brother ministered, these things are not your masters, they're your servants. God wants you to be in charge. And put first things first, as our other brother mentioned, Brother Mike mentioned about in the morning, taking that time to read God's Word. God's Word is full of life and encouragement. And if you'll take time to read God's Word and to not just read it, but to take some time to sit down and to think about those things and meditate on those things, you know, our brother read in Joshua, we'll read just that first part. When God was talking to Joshua. It's the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even until the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give thee. Only be strong, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There is a life in the Scriptures that can inspire you. It says that Scripture is given for inspiration. And God wants you, if you have the struggle reading, get the audio Bible and listen to it in your car. Because there's life in God's Word. Again and again we've seen, even in discussions when we're talking to people, and we're able to bring forth Scripture, it has power to change people's hearts. Have Scripture. Hide Scripture in your heart. Read the Scriptures. But God wants you to understand the reality of who you are. As it says in Hebrews, when it was talking about the chapter of faith, So I'll read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. Talking about Abraham, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then to 13, and all these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth, on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God wants you to realize that he has a country and a city for you, and you are already citizens of it. You are seated with Christ together in heavenly places, and God wants you to reach out for that. God wants you to understand that by the power that he's given by the Holy Spirit and through the gifts and the calling of God in your life, as you'll give yourself to that and enter into it, there will be change take place, not just in your life, but in the church. We are all able to, I guess, look at the church and maybe find fault. Peter said in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. I guess I'll start at 4, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And for this they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There's a literalness, but there's a type and shadow of the power of the Holy Spirit, which is a fervent heat, melting and dissolving the kingdoms of this age. And God wants you to reach out and to embrace wholeheartedly this calling that you have, this kingdom that he's given you, so that you can begin to not just walk in your calling here on earth, but begin to walk in the power and glory of God in heavenly places that he's called you to be. He wants you to, as Paul encouraged Peter, or Timothy, when he was talking to Timothy, that the things that you've been given are precious things. The gifts that you've been given are precious things, They're real things. And God is wanting you to really grasp hold of your calling in God. God is wanting you to realize that, and He'll help you realize that there's a transition taking place even right now. And God is looking for a people to take their inheritance. When Paul talked about the kingdom of God, Jesus mentioned that the kingdom of God was at hand, but Paul said receiving the kingdom, and that Greek word was talking about the receiving by inheritance. It was given already by the death of Christ. You have an inheritance that God wants you to grasp hold of with everything that you have. And God will make it a reality in your life. God will make it a reality in the church. If there is a lack, God wants you to look to Him to fill it. When I was at work, said, "Don't bring me the problems. Bring me the problem with your solutions." God has a solution for every need that's in your assembly, that's in your family. He's the resource. As we were told, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. And God is bringing forth a kingdom and bringing forth a church that we can't even conceive of, that will walk in such unity and also in such power and such glory that there will be amazement on the earth, just as there was when the New Testament church came forth. There was an amazement there. There was a fear that came upon the people because there was a reality that came into being in the first church. And God is bringing that reality forth. And God wants you to come to that place and to realize that, that, as I mentioned, there is a warfare. There is a wrestling in spiritual realms that is taking place. And God has given you weapons of warfare. God has given you a ministry to exercise that will deal with the situations even in your own life as you take hold of them. But don't be discouraged by the things that you're facing, but rather run to God and begin to exercise that intercession that God wants to have, where you begin to reach out to the kingdom of God so that you can have a vision, not a vision of this world, not of a vision of how bad things are and how things are falling apart, but about how the kingdom of God is coming together. God wants to give you that vision. God wants to increase your understanding of the kingdom of God and increase your understanding of how the body of Christ will function. And this is a day, where, as a prophecy said, we're not in a time when the bones are coming together, when the dry bones are coming together. We're in a time when those things have come together, and we're looking for the breath of God to blow across the church and to bring forth the life that we're looking for, that the church might stand up and be the kind of church that it's supposed to be. And God is interested in doing that, and is interested in having our hearts that way, and having us not just inclined that way, but to cry out and take time to intercede for that kingdom to take place and that kingdom to come in our lives and in the church and in the earth. Let's just pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that as we look with natural eyes, we can see, Lord, deterioration. because the kingdoms of this world are coming to an end, Lord, and there will be deterioration. But let our identification be not with the kingdoms that deteriorate, but with the kingdom that's coming, the kingdom that is established in the heavens, that new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven, that new Jerusalem that we are part of, that through the blood of Christ and by the power of Spirit of the Holy Spirit, that we have a new citizenship of, Lord, the new Jerusalem. Father, we pray that as we look to you, as we pray, as we take time to meditate unto you, Lord, you will make the clarity of that kingdom and our citizenship so clear to us, Lord, that, Lord, as it is your desire, we will not be moved by the things that are happening around us. We will not be bothered, Lord, by deterioration or loss of the things here, but will rather be awed by the increase in our understanding and in the power of the Spirit in our lives and the function of the gifts of the Spirit and our calling in the church and in the earth and in our communities, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we look to you to cause those things that you've given us to function in every part of our lives. Lord, we pray that that great gift of intercession with which your holy anointing has never moved through the ages, but with which, Lord, you have brought renewal and revival throughout the ages, will begin to function as it never had before, Lord, in the church. Lord, call the intercessors to the place of prayer to bring forth that manifestation of sons that you speak about and that you've, Lord, caused to be fashioned from the beginning of creation, from the eternities that were. Lord, we pray that all of us, even those that maybe don't have the gift of intercession, may the anointing of intercession fall upon all of us, Lord, that we might cry out for your kingdom, for the liberty and deliverance, Lord, that you hold out to all of mankind. Lord, a new life of love and passion for you, Lord, that will be beyond what we can understand. We pray here and now, Lord, for those that are struggling, Lord, for those that maybe have not felt you were on their side or loved them, that have felt bypassed, that have felt, Lord, wounded and not healed, that even now your Holy Spirit of healing will touch their hearts and lives and do such a work, Lord, as to make them understand, Lord, how accepted in the Beloved they are, as you say in your word, that they are part, they are not on the outside, but they are a vital part of the body of Christ. Let your Holy Spirit minister to each heart and life here, Lord. May hope be ministered. May encouragement be ministered. May there be an understanding of how many of us, Lord, are standing with them in every situation that we know of, Lord. Let them make their needs known, Lord, for we stand with them, that they might have that victory and deliverance that is theirs in the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless each one tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there any announcements tonight?
Praise God. I just felt that there are some that are possibly be leaving. I'm not sure tonight or tomorrow. And because of the new owners, I'd asked them how they wanted us to leave our rooms and the place. And the first thing they said was garbage was the most important. So that your garbage in your room and in the washrooms, if you're in a lodge where the washrooms are for everyone, and the showers, and on the grounds and around the building, you know, wherever you see, so that we keep the area clean. The second part was bedding. Those that have used the bedding that the grounds that Pine Lows provided for you, that they would just like you to take the bedding, take your sheets off and that, but leave it right on the bed that the bedding was on there, just so it's stripped, and it's just sitting right on top. And that way they've associated that bedding with that bed, because that's sort of how they made it. Because then she says we're trying to find where the sheet belongs and that belongs, kind of thing. And she said not to worry about the vacuuming, that part of it, that they would take care of that themselves, and that was basically it. So it's not too difficult, right? The other thing is don't forget that your belongings and that kind of thing, too, that you don't leave them behind. Praise God. Is there any other announcements tonight? Okay, if we could just stand. Precious Lord, we are so grateful for your presence, your anointing upon each one of us, the word that you have shared with us, and just teaching us to go on in more intimate relationship with you. Father, we thank you for the direction that you're teaching us and leading us on, so that the common would be a new common for us. We are just elated as to how you're leading us on. And we pray that we would just honor you by walking in the way that you're showing us. We thank you for the message tonight. We thank you for your presence here tonight. And we pray that you'd grant each one a good night's rest, Lord, that each one would rest peacefully, Lord, and that needs that are still needing to be met would be met. We pray these mercies of you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.